Keep your Bible open, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Faith versus foolishness. I wonder how many of us have ever been accused of having foolish faith. How can you be such a fool to believe in Jesus Christ, who is just an ordinary man, who had a secret affair with Mary Magdalene and later married her and had children? Well, this is what is told to us by the Da Vinci Code. Have you been ridiculed, with many millions believing in what Dan Brown had written in his blasphemous book? Christians might be ridiculed for believing that Jesus is God and that He is the only Savior of the world. Have you been ridiculed for believing in the Holy Scriptures, that the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake? As Christians, many a time we do suffer such scorn and mockings and ridicule for what we have believed in. And sometimes the temptation and the pressure is very great to compromise and even to deny what we believe to be true according to the Word of God. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is simply taking God at His word. God says it, that settles it. We believe it. That is faith. And God requires us to have simple, childlike faith in what He says and what He affirms in His word. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him in His Word, in His forever infallible and inerrant Word. What is foolishness then? Foolishness is the denial of God and His existence, and not believing in what the Bible says. For in Psalm 14 verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And if you are an atheist, you don't believe in the existence of God. God declares you to be a fool. Jesus says, "The fool is the one who is slow to believe, who is slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." That is the Holy Scriptures. And in 1 Samuel 14, we find two characters. One is an example of faith. The other of foolishness. Are we men of faith, or are we men of foolishness? We want to be men of faith, great faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, we have the example of King Saul and his son Jonathan. And by their examples, we can discover and learn for ourselves what is faith and what is foolishness. So let's first deal with King Saul. Saul is an example of foolishness. King Saul, by this time, was a God-forsaken man. And he had earlier disobeyed the Lord. He had disobeyed the Word of God. For Saul was instructed by Samuel to go ahead to Gilgal and there wait for Samuel to offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, and to seek God's blessing in the upcoming battle against the Philistines. And what happened was, Samuel was late in arriving in Gilgal. And Saul took upon himself to offer the burnt offering that God had not appointed him or instructed him to do. He went against God's word and God's direction. And although Samuel arrived late, Saul had no right to offer that burnt offering on his own. It was Samuel's duty to do so, not Saul. Saul should have waited on the Lord. And I believe God was in control and the Lord was providentially working and caused Samuel to arrive late in Gilgal for a purpose. It was to test King Saul, whether he would obey all the words of God or not through his prophet. And we know that Saul had failed the test. He did not wait for Samuel. He went ahead to offer the sacrifice which God had not appointed him to offer. And that's why later on, Samuel, when he arrived and saw what Saul had done, he was very angry. And he rebuked Saul severely. And this we read in 1 Samuel 13. Look at 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 and 14. And here Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." Saul was foolish. "Thou hast not kept the commandment." His foolishness was in his disobedience to the commandment of the Lord. "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Saul, even after this rebuke, was unrepentant, for there was another occasion where he was also commanded to do a certain thing, and it was again in Gilgal, and there he disobeyed God's word one more time, and which led Samuel to cut himself off from Saul. And Samuel said these words to Saul in 1 Samuel 15. If you turn to 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. It says here, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." You see, to reject God's word is rebellion. "He hath also rejected thee from being king." Dear friends, do we take God's word seriously, or do we take God's word lightly? Are we quick to believe in the scriptures, or are we always doubting, always questioning, always trying to find fault with what the Bible says? Do we place ourselves above the scriptures or under the scriptures? That I should not judge the scriptures, but the scriptures must judge me. Are we hearers of God's word, or are we doers of God's word, not hearers only? What is the test of our spirituality? How do we know that we are walking closely with the Lord? How do we know that we are really in touch with the Lord? How do we know that we truly love the Lord? We know how we love the Lord and how we regard His Word, how we respond to His Word. You know, it's not how much we give in our tithes and offerings. It's not how much service we render to the church, or how much time we spend in fellowship meetings or in prayer meetings, and all these things and all these activities. I mean, all these things are important. Please do not get me wrong. All these things are part and parcel of the Christian life and of Christian living. But the Lord is looking at our heart. What is our heart condition like? Are we truly loving Him, burning in our hearts for Him? Or is it when we do all these things, all our churchly activities, we are just doing it as a formality, as a routine? Or do we do it because we truly love the Lord and our hearts are burning for Him? We think of Him all the time. And we love His Word. And we want to obey His Word. We want to glorify His name. And that's why we are doing all these things. The Lord is looking at the heart. Do we have a heart of love and obedience? As Samuel has said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And Jesus told His disciples, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments." Keep My commandments. This Saul did not do. He was foolish. Why? Because he despised the commandments of God. He despised the Word of God. He despised the Word of the prophet. God's word to Saul was, "I am with thee." You know, when God appointed him as king, God says, "I will be with you. But wait for Samuel at Gilgal. Wait for him." Simple instruction. And God, in other words, was telling Saul, "Saul, you don't worry. I will take care of you. Just trust Me and My words. Don't take matters into your own hands. Always seek Me and My will. Don't act on impulse. Don't look at people or circumstances. Just trust Me that I am the only living and true God who is invisible, and My hand is very powerful. I can deliver you from your enemies. I will fight your battles. Just obey My words and heed My every commandment and instruction. Can you just do this?" But Saul did not. He was foolish because he was faithless. Faithlessness was precisely the foolishness of King Saul. So when Samuel did not turn up on time, he began to doubt God. He began to doubt the Lord. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe God is not in control. And then in an attempt at self-protection, for selfish reasons, he yielded to temptation by taking his eyes off God and allowed the people and the circumstances to dictate his actions. For the Philistines were gathering their forces, and the situation was very threatening. So I must take matters into my own hands. Maybe God made a mistake. For look at the excuse he gave to Samuel. Why he offered that burnt offering instead of waiting for Samuel to come as ordered by the Lord. And we read in 1 Samuel 13:11-12. And here Saul gave this excuse. "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed." The situation was very threatening. The situation was not in my favor. There was no time to waste. "And then thou camest not within the days appointed." Your prophecy was not true. Perhaps you made a mistake. Perhaps God made a mistake in asking me to wait according to the time. And then the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. And look at the powerful force that they had garnered. "Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, And I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I forced myself. And that was his excuse. In other words, he's saying, God made a mistake, and I have to help God, and I forced myself to help God make right the wrong situation that I found myself. I want to help God to correct his mistake, in other words. No, God makes no mistakes. God's word is always true. Let God be true, but every man a liar, Romans 3 verse 4 tells us. And that is good counsel. When God says something, when God gives a commandment, we want to obey his commandment to the last letter. He makes no mistakes. He is in control of every circumstance. He is in control of every affair and every event in the world. Nothing happens by chance. We just have to trust him and his words, even though the circumstances are against us. And as long as we are found within God's word and within his will, don't be afraid of people and circumstances. For the Lord had already promised, I will be with you. Just trust me. You know, there are severe consequences when we stubbornly go against God and his word, even after repeated admonishment and instruction. And Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14, because of your foolishness, because you did not hearken unto the word of the Lord, what's going to happen? But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Because you did not obey God's word, I have rejected you as king, and will set up another man to take your place. In 1 Samuel 15 verse 26, Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. So Samuel separated from Saul, forsook Saul as well. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. So dear friends, don't follow after the example of King Saul. An example of foolishness. Many a time we are put to the test. In our Christian life, we will be put to the test. And when we are put to the test by God, when times are bad, when things don't go our way, when we are in pain and we are suffering, will we continue to trust the Lord or not? Or do we begin to doubt God and then deny him and say, I don't want to believe in God anymore? We only believe in God when times are good. But when times are bad, then I don't need God anymore. I think this God is not true. And then we go our own way. That is foolishness, dear friends. Sometimes the Lord puts us to the test. And when circumstances are threatening, when circumstances are not good, are bad, and we go through a lot of difficulties and troubles, pain and suffering, and the Lord is putting us to the test, we would be very foolish to deny the Lord and to backslide from him and to turn away from him or to compromise our faith. Because in such moments of dire distress, of pain and suffering, trouble and difficulty, all the more we need God. All the more we must cry out to him. All the more we must follow him and not depart from his ways and not depart from his word. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting in him. Keep on obeying him, no matter what. Just like Job. Job was an upright man, a just man. He was a believer. And yet, the Lord allowed him to be tested. And he was sorely tested by the devil. But did Job curse God? No. His wife told him, curse God and die. But Job said, even if the Lord were to slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's why the Lord blessed Job tremendously. He was a man of faith, not foolish like Saul over here. So when you are ridiculed, you are mocked at, you are maligned, you are oppressed, you are persecuted because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in His Word, please do not forsake the Lord. Please keep on following the Lord, because God cannot be wrong. God is always right and He makes no mistakes. So when a robber comes to you and threatens you and points a knife at you, money or life, how would you respond? Well, you'd be wise to say, well, you can have my money, I want my life, right? Take my money. But if the enemy of Christ, if Satan comes to you and threatens you and say, life or Christ, what is the wise response? The wise response will be, you can take my life, but I will never, never deny my Christ. I want my Christ. That would be a wise. But you say, all right, I want my life, I deny Christ, that would be foolish. And that was precisely what Saul did. When he looked at the circumstances, the men were scattered. And then the Philistines were united and going against him. He denied the Lord and took matters into his own hand. And by so doing, he was foolish. And there were consequences, and the Lord rejected him. The Lord rejected him because he despised the Lord and His Word. Jesus commands us, if we want to be worthy of Him, let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. The cross is a cross of suffering. And Jesus also commanded in Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So let us not follow after the foolishness of King Saul, but let us follow after the faith that was displayed by his son, Jonathan. Jonathan was a man of faith. Now, at this point in time, the Philistines had gathered together to fight Israel. And they had a formidable army. Now in 1 Samuel 13 verse 5, what was the military might of the Philistines like? You turn to 1 Samuel 13 verse 5. I mean, it was a very awesome army that they had. Very formidable. 1 Samuel 13 verse 5. And here we read, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people, the soldiers, as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and then countless number of foot soldiers, innumerable. Now, how many men did Israel have? At this time, when King Saul was leading his army had only 3,000 men, just 3,000 men. And this we read in 1 Samuel 13 verse 2. And then after Saul disobeyed the Lord, and after Samuel rebuked him, that number, 3,000, was dwindled to 600 men. And that you read in 1 Samuel 13 verse 15. So in terms of number, in terms of the military strength, numerically speaking, Israel was hopelessly outnumbered by the Philistines. And then in terms of weaponry, weapons, Israel was also lacking in supply. For we read in 1 Samuel 13:22, "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul." All the soldiers, the Israelite soldiers, had no sword, no spear. Only two persons had a sword and spear, and that was Saul and Jonathan. So there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan, his son was there found. So great odds were stacked against them. And despite the odds, Jonathan took a step of faith to fight the Philistines. In Samuel 14 verse 6, he said to his young armor bearer, let's look at 1 Samuel 14 verse 6. It says here, Jonathan said these words, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Maybe that the Lord will work for us. For it doesn't matter whether we have a huge army or we have a few men. For if the Lord will fight for us, we will win the battle, even if we are weak in our military strength and might." You see, the faithful will not look to men, but to God. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, like the Philistines. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God." The faithful will remember in the name of the Lord our God. We do not want to trust in the arm of flesh. It is the carnal, it is the worldly man that will trust in chariots and in horses. But the godly and the faithful will trust in the Almighty God, our only Savior, and His all-powerful and very powerful Word. And for those who trust in chariots and in horses, the Lord pronounces a curse. For in Isaiah 31 verse 1 we read, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt." Egypt was a superpower. "Who go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Neither seek the Lord. Many a time we trust in our own strength, or the strength of men, in wealth, in power, right, in money. Because all these things we can see, and we think that all these worldly powers and influence can help us. And then we forget the Lord. Well, Saul was such a man, but not Jonathan. Jonathan's decision to go into the camp of the Philistines was an act and a step of faith. And it's interesting to know from verse 1 of 1 Samuel 14 that he did not tell his father Saul about what he was going to do. Right? It was done without his father's knowledge. And again, that is a step of faith. It was a wise act of Jonathan not to tell his father, because he had already seen how his father was an unspiritual man. And as an unspiritual man and a foolish man who despised God and His Word, who did not obey the commandments of God, he knew with spiritual discernment that if he were to tell his father, "I'm going to take this step of faith to fight the Philistines, although they have 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and then innumerable soldiers and we are but few," his father would have prevented him and scoffed and mocked at him. "You have foolish faith. How can you think, who do you think you are to go up with such a few men against the Philistines. And so he did not even bother to tell his father about his plans, but took that step of faith, looking to the Lord. And so this tells us that if we want to seek advice and counsel, we ought to seek advice and counsel from spiritual men. Men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Men who are filled with the Word of God. And not from carnal men who are filled with the philosophies and the methods of this world. You want to seek out spiritual men who will give you good advice, who will point you to the Savior, who will point you to His Word and show you God's direction and God's will from His Word. Then you know how to make the right decision and what is the right path. But you go to unspiritual men, you men of wealth and influence, filled with carnal and worldly methods and philosophies, you will not find the right way. It is only the spiritual man, not the worldly man, that has the mind of Christ and is able to discern God's will. So Jonathan's decision to go into the camp of the Philistines was truly a step of faith. And take note also that Jonathan had no army, right? The men of Israel were with Saul, the king. And at this time, only Saul had 600 men. How about Jonathan? Jonathan had no army. He only had a personal armor bearer who was with him. And this young armor bearer was a loyal one, was loyal to him. So just two of them, Jonathan and his armor bearer, to fight against the Philistines. Well, how can that be? Is this foolish faith? No, it is not foolish faith at all. Because Jonathan's faith was in the Almighty God. And although they are small, they are in the minority. One with God is majority. One with God is majority. And Jonathan understood this well. And Jonathan also was very careful to seek a sign from the Lord. Lord, is it your will for me to attack? Although, you know, I'm alone and I have only my armor bearer with me. I'm willing, O Lord, to go into battle against these Philistines, these uncircumcised Philistines who are idolaters. If you are with me, I will go, even though I'm weak, I'm few. And Jonathan sought a sign from the Lord. He sought the directive will of God in prayer. He was a man of faith because he was a man of prayer. He sought God's will. Then said Jonathan, let's turn to 1 Samuel 14, verse 8 to 10. And here we read, "Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Yes, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Daily in our lives, we need God's direction. So pray and seek God's directive will. And he will lead you to the right way, what he wants you to do. "For the Lord is the one who controls the hearts and the tongues of men." And the Lord gave to Jonathan the sign that he sought, to go up and fight the Philistines, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, although you are only two, you can fight them and you will win. I will give you the victory. And the victory was a resounding one. For Jonathan and his armor bearer slew an army that was 10 times their size. As the Lord has promised, one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. So even although Jonathan had only his armor bearer to fight the battle, they killed 20 men, right? Two of them against 20, and they slew the 20. 10 times their size. But if there were 10,000 who went against them, the 10,000 would also be slaughtered. One will chase 1,000, God says. Two will put 10,000 to flight. And the victory was so resounding, so great, that the Philistines all got scared. You know, they were trembling. In 1 Samuel 14, verse 15, we read, there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the Philistines, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. The Philistines got very, very afraid, very frightened, because they could see the supernatural hand of God upon Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they knew just these two can take on the whole army, the 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and all their soldiers, because, hey, God is with them. And they, you know, and you know what happened? They panicked. The Philistines all panicked. And they all got confused. And we are told in 1 Samuel 14, verse 16, that their hearts melted. They melted away. And they went on beating down one another. There was panic and confusion. They melted away and they beat down on one another. They fought themselves. And all this was due to the power of God. Who can fight God? Can anyone fight God? It is a terrible thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Never, never make God angry. Never, never offend God. Just always bless Him. Always praise His name. Always worship Him. Always glorify Him. Never, never say anything against Him. For who can fight God? No one can fight God and win. And that is the truth. And that is a fact. So, dear friends, are you threatened and troubled? Are you threatened and troubled by wicked men who are using their fleshly arsenal of wealth and power and intelligence and influence to oppress and persecute you? Jesus has these words of comfort. If you are a man of faith like Jonathan, then God will tell you, you are a blessed man indeed. For Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If you are persecuted and you are suffering for righteousness' sake, here there is a double blessing. The word blessed occurs twice. Let us always seek the Lord's protection. For He has promised in Psalm 12, 3 to 7, that He will cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God is true to His words. God is true to His promises. God makes no mistakes. So let us just keep believing on Him, trusting, believing on Him, never doubting His words, knowing that His words are true and always true, forever infallible and inerrant, the same yesterday, today and forever. What a wonderful God we have. And this God is our God. He is our Savior. He is watching over us. And He is taking care of us. And no matter what enemies we have, no matter how powerful they are, and we may be just few, and we are weak, let us act faithfully
like Jonathan.
Jonathan was alone and he only had his armor bearer with him. But the Lord, because he trusted the Lord blessed him with a great victory. Don't be like Saul. Don't follow his foolish ways, for he despised the Lord and his word and took matters into his own hands. So 2 Chronicles 32 verse 6 to 8 is an encouragement to us. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And faith, dear friends, not the arm of flesh, not flesh, but faith is the victory. Not flesh, but faith is the victory. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for the examples you have given to us in the Old Testament, in thy word. Help us to follow the good way and to reject the evil way. To follow after good examples. Example set by Jonathan, and not after foolish and wicked and evil examples as found in Saul. O Lord, help us never to trust in our flesh, but always to trust in Thee and to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to live from faith to faith, for the just shall live by his faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.